Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan and Kyle in the morning. Let's talk to the pros. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the Fans Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. Find me on Twitter at DanHarris80. It is Friday. We are going to be doing the game-by-game recap or preview, with Kyle Yates in just a few minutes. But first, as we do every Friday, I'm very happy to welcome our guest, Dr. David Chow from ProFootballDoc.com. Find him on Twitter at ProFootballDoc. Doc, thanks for joining me today.
Always. It's always fun to chat, and there's a lot to talk about here.
So much. But before we do, I have to give a public service announcement to all of our listeners, which is that if there's a football game going on, if it is Thursday night or Sunday all day or Monday night, you should be following Pro Football Doc on Twitter, but you need to put your notifications on, because last night, Doc, I'm doing a couple things in the middle of that game. I'm preparing some podcasts. I'm going to record a podcast. I've got it on mute. So I had a couple of friends and I texted them and I said, what is happening right now with Russell Wilson? Because the finger looked terrible. And they were like, hold on, Dr. Chow's going live. He's going to explain the whole thing. It sounds like mallet finger or something like that. So I got the whole download just because during the game, right after it, you're doing a video, which is awesome. So now you go beyond just our little 10-minute segment here together, Doc. It's now infecting my family and my friends. So let's talk about that. Let's start there.
Disgusting. I apologize.
No, I love it. Are you kidding me? I get real-time updates. I love it. So, Doc, talk to me about Russell Wilson's injury. It does sound like it is mallet finger, as you first expected. So do you think he's going to even have any chance to play next week?
Yeah, well, it's a mallet finger is the extensor tendon is torn, so it droops, right? It wasn't a finger dislocation. The key is how retracted is the tendon. I expect, look, Russell Wilson came back into the game, right? And he even threw one pass and on third down tried to throw, but it was, he was sacked. I fully expected mallet finger. That's been reported now. Obviously, badly sprained is Pete's euphemism.
Sure.
I expect him to have surgery. At least a pinning of the finger, okay? And after that, I wouldn't count him out because the finger will be stable. Here is going to be the key. If he were in any other position, he would be playing. If it was left hand, he would be playing. What sort of grip can he have on the football? And what sort of accuracy can he have on the football? And football players, quarterbacks, there's different ways to hold the football. Some quarterbacks have a middle finger dominant grip where the index finger doesn't really even come into play. And some have an index finger dominant grip. I don't know which one Russell Wilson has and his comfort. I guarantee you he could play week six. The question is, how accurate can he be and will he play is the question, right? So it's two different parts here. And that remains to be determined. And I can't answer that question. But the fact that you see this very ugly looking finger and there still is hope, that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying right now.
That's good enough for me, Doc. Trust me. And I am glad that this injury happened at a night game late, where my 8-year-old son, who watches football with me every Sunday, was not able to watch it, because I think he would have been pretty squeamish with that. Let's talk about Christian McCaffrey here, Doc. I'll be honest, I expected them to play this. Maybe they will. We don't know that he's going to play necessarily on Sunday, but he has been practicing all week. He practiced today as well. There has been optimism on him. Do you think he's going to play this week? If so, do you have lingering concerns, given that this seems a little quicker than expected?
I'll tell you how our lives are different. And one sidelight there. My 8-year-old son was watching the game. He just shrugs at that. As a matter of fact, it was a later play when the DB went down late in the game. And then he kind of got hit in the head by his teammate, right?
Yes.
And he goes, "Dad, that's his ankle." So he gets in on the, I'll be doing something, go, dad, that player. So he's into it. Christian McCaffrey, look, I did a little video. It's on my Twitter timeline, not stealing your thunder. Could he play? I believe he could. Is he 100%? I don't think so. He's, as of Wednesday and Thursday, he was limited practice. I don't know his official status today yet, whether it's full or limited. But let me tell you, I saw some video earlier this week where he couldn't really stop. I mean, he was less than 100%. Now, here's my point. I actually believe that he won't play this week. And here's why. Last year, there's no chance he would have played because the Panthers knew they weren't in it. This year, they're trading for Stephon Gilmore. They've got a win record. They think they can make some noise. So they want to play him. So with that, you'd say, okay, he's going to play week 5. And here's the thing. When he was first hurt, they would be happy if he came back after missing 2 games, right? They were hoping that third game that he'd be able to play. I think that's realistic now. Now, do they want to jeopardize putting him in this week at less than 100%, suffer a setback, and now miss him for another 3-4 weeks, right? So discretion is often the better part of valor. I know McCaffrey's lobbying to play. I feel good. Every player is going to say that. Could he play? Yes. If this were the Super Bowl, would he play? 1,000%. But with all that in mind, the Panthers may sit back and say, okay, doctor says he can play, but there's some risk. McCaffrey wants to play. But do we want him to play? Do we want to wait the extra week and be assured that he's okay and decrease the risk of setback? Because we are a good team this year. And it'll really hurt us if we don't have him for 3-4 weeks down the road if we rush this week. For those reasons, I do not believe that he will play, but I'm not in the Panthers meeting rooms to decide.
Well, as somebody who rosters Christian McCaffrey in a few leagues, I'm hoping that's the case, Doc. It just seems like the downside of playing him is, and he gets re-injured or aggravates it or whatever, it's so much worse than the upside of, okay, maybe we rush this a little bit. But yay, he got through it and we're okay. So it's dangerous. I hope you're right. How about Joe Mixon, Doc? We talked about it last week. You had this right from the start, a mid-high ankle sprain. He apparently is going to try to practice tomorrow and his status is going to be determined after that. Do you think he's going to play? And if not, when do you think he'll be back?
I didn't believe he would play after the game on Thursday. We did a video Friday morning saying, I don't think he's going to play. Yes, it's mild, but it's a high ankle sprain. I think it's going to be hard for him to play. Just think about this, Dan. How many times has a team player not practiced, kicked the can to Saturday, and played well, right? I mean, it's look, he's trying. I get it. And they're keeping hope alive. I get it. But I'm dubious. From the get-go, I was dubious that he could play. And, yeah, they'll take a look Saturday. They'll have done their due diligence. You know, maybe they'll carry the questionable all the way to Sunday. But for fantasy purposes, you better make your plans. I don't think he's going to go.
That's how I feel as well, Doc. Let's talk about Baker Mayfield here for a minute. Not a guy that fantasy managers are relying on usually to be their starter, but it obviously affects Odell Beckham Jr. and everything like that. He's got the partially torn labrum in his left shoulder. Another thing that you saw pretty much right away, he's wearing the harness here. He looked pretty off last week. So do you think that he's being affected by the injury or even just by wearing the harness?
Maybe, but it's funny that you say fantasy managers aren't counting on Baker Mayfield, at least on some of my limited fantasy teams. I would love to have Baker Mayfield. I don't have a lot. For whatever reason, last year, zero running backs became zero quarterbacks, or at least, you know, the way the drafts went.
Sure.
But the best thing about fantasy, like Scott Fishbowl, Dan, I have a great defense. Once again, for the second year in a row, points against is the lowest in the league.
You bet.
Obviously, that's by luck, right? Because we don't even have defense there. And only because of that am I 4-0 in the league, not because of other reasons. But so if anyone out there wants to give me Baker Mayfield for my quarterback, I'll take him. But in any case, here's the thing you have to know. He hurt it week two. He returned in the second half of week two. We posted it at profootballdoc.com. It's not news that he has a labral tear and an issue and he dislocated his shoulder. So if you're going to blame week four's bad performance on that, you should blame week three's performance on that. And you should blame the second half of week two on that, not just week four in isolation. Can it affect throwing motion mechanics? Yes, indirectly it can. Look, if you have a bad pinky toe, it might throw off your golf swing a little bit, right? I mean, even though indirectly. So, yes, it can, but I don't know that it's that easy to blame it. He's wearing a harness. He's playing through. There's some peripheral effect, but you can't just say week four was because of that, but week three he was fine. I mean, it happened week two.
Yeah. All right, that's a good point. How about Dalvin Cook, Doc? Again, I don't know today's practice report or anything like that. He didn't practice on Thursday. He was in and out last week against the Browns. You know, we got to wait for the practice reports, of course. But from what you've seen, Doc, assuming that he plays, is this the type of thing where we have to hold our breath that he could leave the game at any minute? Or is it something that's going to linger throughout the season or what?
Well, I think it's something that he can play through. How effectively is the question? And it doesn't surprise me that he comes out now and again. Now, will the Vikings decide to shut him down for a week? Well, that's a team decision once again. But my inclination is negative as I've been, not negative, but pessimistic about Joe Mixon and maybe Christian McCaffrey. I'm on the optimistic side of Dalvin Cook playing, going, and being effective.
Okay, very good. How about the Titans receivers here, Doc? My guess is Julio Jones is going to be declared out at some point soon because he hasn't practiced all week. But A.J. Brown has been practicing. He reportedly looks smooth. I think we probably focus there. Given what you saw initially with the A.J. Brown injury, do you think that this is a realistic time for him to come back and be effective?
It surprises me a little bit. I thought Julio might be back before A.J. Brown. Clearly, A.J. Brown will be back before Julio. And I see all the reports of how smooth he looks in beat reporters put up video. He doesn't look that smooth to me. Look, he looks smooth because he's an unbelievably superior athlete. Okay.
Right.
I mean, me at age 18 was never that smooth at 100% health. Right. I mean, like that's why he looks smooth, but there's still a little hitch in what's going on. And I don't know if he's holding back or being careful. I think that it's possible that he will play. They certainly need him, right, with Julio still out. But you know, on our profootballdoc.com and our six scores, our Sports Injury Central SIC scores, he's not going to be 100%. He's not going to be in the 90s. We'll look at what happens today. But even if he plays, he might be in the 70s or 80s. We've got to plug in the formulas and see. And what that means is if you're expecting him to get 19 fantasy points, maybe – sorry about that background.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
You know, maybe he's 70-some percent of the expected output. So make your fantasy decisions.
All right. Good enough for me. Last one, Doc, Jimmy Garoppolo. We may already know whether he's in or out by the time you're listening to this. You are not the GM of a football team, Doc. You're not a fantasy analyst. So purely from the injury perspective here with what you saw on Jimmy Garoppolo, tell me your thoughts on his calf injury and what it means for us.
Initially on Sunday when it happened, I was like, oh, calf, that's not good. It lingers. It's something to be careful of. And then I heard Kyle Shanahan's comments about first drive and Jimmy Garoppolo may have gotten kicked. And I went back and looked at the video. And the video was consistent more of a calf contusion than a calf strain, which is what gave me optimism on Monday morning that he would have a chance to play this week. And then obviously right before Monday Night Football, Schefter reported that as well. He hasn't practiced yet. He's supposed to practice or try today and see if he can step into throws. It's his right calf. So that's the key. Can he step into throws and be accurate? I think he has a chance to be, right? Now, the good news is, even if he can't this week, I think by next week, it's almost book it. He can for sure. So this week is questionable and or iffy. I lean towards, yes, he's going to be an option for Kyle Shanahan. Where Kyle picks that option is a different story. Like he says, well, I'm just not comfortable enough. Once again, if this calf injury were on Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers had one a couple years ago, there is no question that he's starting and playing. Because it's Jimmy G, because they have Trey Lance, because Kyle Shanahan is making the decision, we'll see what happens. But I think he's an option for this week, and almost, nothing's guaranteed, but almost a guarantee to be able to go the following week based on what we're seeing.
He's at Pro Football Doc on Twitter. Follow him. Put on your notifications during any football game because you will get instant analysis. That is, Frank, if I don't mind saying, Doc, it's almost always accurate from what I can tell. I don't know how you do it just based on the video, but it's superstar. Go to profootballdoc.com. Doc, I know you're a busy man. I appreciate you fitting us in. As always, thanks again for stopping by.
Thank you.
All right, now we're going to get into the rest of the show with me and Yates, and we're going to break down every game from this weekend. All right, guys, it's time for Dan and Kyle in the morning. What's up, Yates? How are you?
Oh, I'm tired. I was telling you before we started recording that my toddler was up multiple times during the night. I ended up sleeping on the rock hard floor next to his bed. And it has just been a morning. And it reminded me that I am not prepared for the fact that we are about to have a newborn in the house in about a month. So yeah. I need to get used to like being up multiple times during the night. I have been pounding the coffee already this morning. A little bit slap happy. This should be a fun one.
I hate to tell you, but I just have no sympathy. And until you have two, you're basically you're like baby parent in my mind. But also, that rest assured that when they become a little older, like my kids are, you can just ignore them. And they come in and they have a nightmare or something like that. And you'd be like, I don't care, go back to bed. And eventually, I assume they go back to bed. I don't know. But you just stop worrying about it. So it will get better, I promise. Okay, Dan and Kyle in the morning, you guys know what we have to do. And there are no bye weeks. So I speak like the motor whatever machines guy because we've got to move. But before we get into it, I will remind you that we are giving away a signed Justin Jefferson helmet. All you got to do, leave a review for the show on Apple Podcasts or CastBox, and then go to fancypros.com/contest to enter. That's it. Piece of cake. And again, if you are subscribed to our YouTube channel over at youtube.com/fantasypros, that counts as 3 times the entries, so make sure you do that. Also, you guys know about the My Primer feature that's available over at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. You guys know that Pat Fitzmaurice is filling in, doing the primer this year in honor of Tags. And like Tags, he's providing fantasy analysis for every fantasy relevant player. And with the My Primer feature, you can get that for just players on your team. This is the way my kids actually decide who they're going to start in their fantasy lineup because they, quote, don't trust your projections is what they tell me every time. Will does anyway. It's totally free. All you gotta do is sync your leagues with in my playbook, fantasypros.com/myplaybook, and you will get the My Primer feature. And trust me, guys, it's great. It gives you a ton of information. And again, directly for your own fantasy team. All right, Yates, over-under challenge. You know that's what we do. Sponsored by Caesars, by the way. fantasypros.com/challenge. It's completely free. 10 over-under fantasy points. There are weekly prizes in the season-long prize, which, by the way, I don't think I've even mentioned. The season-long prize is a 2-night stay at a Caesars Las Vegas resort, determined by Caesars, plus airfare. Again, just go to fantasypros.com/challenge. Totally free to play. All right, Yates, Jalen Hurts, my guy. You know that. This better be over, Yates. At Carolina, 20.8 fantasy points.
We've seen him struggle in these games that are a little bit tougher matchups. Obviously, he's not going to get to play the Kansas City Chiefs here. I'm not expecting 387 passing yards, but it's Jalen Hurts. He has been one of the most consistent fantasy options. You still got to take the over here.
They are going to blitz him, and he is going to scramble, and he is going to go over. Sam Darnold, same game, Philadelphia at 19.9 fantasy points.
At this point, Sam Darnold is turning into Josh Allen. And so if he's got that rushing ability, and this is the defense that just gave up a ton of touchdowns to Patrick Mahomes. Granted, it's Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs receiving options, but I'm also going to take the over here. I've got Sam Darnold inside my top 12.
Ooh, I like it. Feisty Saquon Barkley at Dallas, 15.1.
I think Saquon's back, and I think that his workload is here to stay. I think that the opportunities around the goal line, and especially in this matchup where they're allowing a ton of receptions to opposing running backs, I think that Saquon will feast. I've got the over here as well.
I am as well. Love what we're seeing from him right now. Damian Williams at Las Vegas, 13.7 fantasy points.
I think he's got to find the end zone for this one to cash in. I don't know if that happens here. I'll play it safe. I'll take the under.
Yeah, I will as well. Chuba Hubbard, Christian McCaffrey may play. If so, you don't really want to get there. But assuming that McCaffrey doesn't play here with Hubbard, 12.1 fantasy points against Philadelphia.
I'll take the under here. I talked about Chuba Hubbard last week saying that I'm probably not going to see him super involved as a receiver. That did come to fruition. Now, I didn't expect Rodney Smith to be called up and see five targets there. But I think that he's got to find the end zone for this one as well. I'm not buying it. I will take the under.
How about CeeDee Lamb against the Giants, 14.1?
Oh, man, I need CeeDee Lamb to hit the over on this one. My fantasy rosters need it. I'll take the under here. I think that he comes close, but I'm going to play it safe. I'll take the under.
Yeah, Giants corners are playing well. It's going to be a tough one. I agree with the under. How about Allen Robinson at Las Vegas, 11 fantasy points?
Oh, man. If you had told me at the beginning of the season that there was a line for Allen Robinson where he was getting I had to take the over for 11 fantasy points, I'd be like, yeah, I'd take that every single day of the week. But right now, we just don't have that confidence. I think that we are going to see Justin Fields, the pass attempts uptick here. I think that that can lead to volume. He's still seeing a healthy target share in this offense. So I'll take the over.
Oh, you're a brave man. I'm definitely taking the under. It'll happen one day. I believe in Allen Robinson, but for right now, I'm still going under. Odell Beckham Jr. at the Chargers, 10.5 fantasy points.
Yeah, he could have had like 30 fantasy points last week if Baker would have been able to hit him. And this is a tougher matchup up against the Chargers, but I do think that he can get enough to find the over of 10.5.
I'll go under still. I think he needs to find the end zone for it. I don't think he does. Debo at Arizona, 14.3.
Debo, at this point, man, you got to continue to take the over no matter what it is, I think.
I agree with you. And finally, Mike Gesicki at Tampa Bay, 8.4 fantasy points.
He's seen a ton of targets here recently. After week one, I thought that we were done with Mike Gesicki in this offense, but he's now kind of found a resurgence here in this offense. He's seeing targets. I'll take the over.
I agree. I think that, again, you know they're not going to run the ball. They're not even trying to run the ball. Right. No team does. They're going to be pass attempts. No Will Fuller. There aren't that many targets. There aren't that many guys out there to take targets. I agree. I was basically done with Gesicki after week one, but now he's basically a must-start tight end. All right, guys, as you know, it's Friday morning. We don't have the practice reports. We just mentioned Christian McCaffrey. Maybe something will break while we do this, but if not, we will try to give you some caveats. But let's start as we always do with the Thursday night game. Rams 26, Seahawks 17. This game had everything. It had a double punt, obviously. It had Cooper Kupp catching a ball when he wasn't even looking. Both quarterbacks. Wasn't that funny? I was like, he was like, oh, God.
Look what I found.
Right, exactly. But he's Cooper Kupp, man. The man. Both quarterbacks have grotesque finger injuries. I mean, it had a little bit of everything. But let's go with the Rams. And, of course, it starts with Robert Woods, a guy you have been telling fantasy managers to sit continuously in this week every time. Sorry, 14 targets. 14 targets, 12 catches, 150 yards. Yates, does this entirely erase his slow start for you going forward?
I was talking about Robert Woods this upcoming week and for this upcoming matchup and just saying, like, it's the squeaky wheel gets the grease. You know, Sean McVay coming out saying that they're looking to get him more opportunities in this offense. It can't all go to Cooper Kupp, and I did not expect 150 receiving yards, but I will take it. I think that moving forward now, I'm not expecting that sort of line every single week, but I think that the target share is going to balance out here. I think that they finally realize that the best opportunity to win is to feature both of these receivers. And I think that we are now just completely forgetting what Robert Woods did for the first four games of the season. And he's now back into that mid-range wide receiver two territory.
What I loved so much about it is it wasn't like they were forcing the ball to Robert Woods. Like, Woods was wide open because they were scheming it so correctly. And again, Kupp wasn't quiet, and he had 10 targets, double-digit targets every single game so far this year. 7 catches, 92 yards. Like, he was heavily involved. But I do think it's going to be closer to this kind of, split that we saw, which is great for fantasy managers who, again, everybody pretty much held Woods because you would have sold so low on him. You obviously weren't dropping him, so this is a great reward. Meanwhile, Darrell Henderson, 17 for 82 on the ground with a touchdown. He adds one catch for 17. Sony Michel does fill in during his brief elbow injury, and he also scores a touchdown at one point. Is Henderson an RB1 going forward?
I think so. Now, I am a little bit concerned about the usage of Sony Michel, not from the what we saw when he was filling in for Henderson, because that was that drive. He got like 8 touches on that drive. It was crazy how much he was being used there. So I'm not expecting that the balance that we saw from this this committee, you know, last night, just because of Henderson's injury and how he was on the sideline at that point. I'm a little bit concerned about him coming in at the goal line when Henderson was healthy. So I'm keeping an eye on that, but I don't think that it's going to limit Henderson in any way. Like, Henderson is turning into a league winner. He is a supreme value based on where you drafted him and how people panicked when Sony Michel was traded. And I think that Henderson, yeah, moving forward with the matchups too, moving forward, the schedule gets so much easier. He's had some really tough matchups here and he's produced in all of them. So I think that it can only, I mean, yeah, RB1.
I will say that if you are handcuffing your backs, like, Michel to me is one of the top handcuffs that you could have. Now, he's probably rostered because obviously you had Henderson missing that game a couple games ago. But he looks great. He looks great in that offense. And, you know, it's a good offense for a running back anyway. So Michel did look good. I agree. There was like some mild concerns and he walked into the end zone for that touchdown. But I agree. The majority, at least, of his touches did come when Henderson was out with that elbow injury very briefly. And I know Tyler Higbee caught the touchdown, Yates. But again, just two targets for 14 yards. Are you encouraged? Are you discouraged? Are you just the same after this?
Kind of just the same. I would love to say that I'm encouraged. But, you know, the target totals weren't there. But yet he found the end zone. So that means he's going to be a top 10 tight end on the week. So really, once we get past, I think, the top, we've talked about it all season long. Once we get past the top seven, top six tight ends, and it's like, all right, who's going to score the touchdown? And I think that Higbee has the best chance to do that in this offense. So, I had him at tight end 8 on the week. I think that's probably where he's going to finish.
Yeah, I had him at tight end 10. And again, I try not to look too much at ECR when I'm doing my rankings. But afterwards, I was like, oh, let me just see where I had him. And I had him 10th, so I quote unquote faded him. And I was like, oh, yeah, look, I think I had this right. This is good. And then he catches a touchdown. I'm like, all right, well, there's like a top 8 tight end, no matter what else he does. But it's fine. I have a lot of shares of Higbee. I'm hoping better days are ahead. But obviously, I want to see him at the 4 to 5 target range rather than the 1 to 2 target range like he has been in a couple of these games. Also, kudos to DeSean Jackson for the 68-yard touchdown, 68-yard catch, which ended with him just like literally walking out of bounds because he got too tired, you know? Like, all right, I got nothing left. I'm done. He walked. He was like, okay, I'm not making any more moves. I'm done. We out of shape, dads. Salute you for the Seahawks. Russell Wilson's the big story here. With that finger looked terrible. We talked to Dr. Chow, obviously.
Why did they show that in slow motion different times?
I loved it. I was like, that's not a finger anymore. I don't know what it is. It was disgusting. Yeah, it was terrible. Good thing it was a late game and the kids were asleep already, because that would have been definitely the nightmare day. 11 for 16, 152 yards and a touchdown with an interception. Meanwhile, Geno Smith comes in, plays very well. You know, he had that interception at the end, but, you know, Lockett fell down, so not exactly his fault. 10 for 17, 131 yards and a touchdown. I guess first, what do you think the impact is on, I guess, the offense as a whole, but particularly the receivers, if Wilson has to miss time here?
Yeah, I think that we have to downgrade at least a little bit DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Those are the two guys that we're really talking about consistently, right? It's Metcalf, it's Lockett. Any of the other options are just kind of ancillary pieces. So I think with Metcalf and Lockett, you have to downgrade them slightly, but we still saw Metcalf be productive with Geno Smith throwing the ball, and Smith looked pretty good. So
he did.
I think that we are just downgrading him slightly for the games that Russell Wilson is out. He might move into the low end wide receiver 1, high end wide receiver 2 territory versus a mid range wide receiver 1. And then Lockett, I think, is continuously now in this mid range wide receiver 2 boom or bust option.
Yeah, this was actually really frustrating, I think, for Lockett, because he was very close to having a monstrous game, right? He doesn't have that pass interference right on that long one. Wilson doesn't overthrow him by a tiny bit on the play that he hurt his finger. He has a monstrous game. He did get the 10 targets at least. So I'm actually encouraged here by what we saw from Lockett. But again, it obviously hangs on whether or not Wilson's going to be able to play. For the running backs, Chris Carson was declared out, you know, enough that we had the warning and we knew it could be possible. Alex Collins was fine in the tough matchup. I mean, 15 for 47, 2 catches for 25 yards. So he saves his day a little bit there. I'm not sure there's much to talk about, since I assume Chris Carson's probably going to be back next week, given they have 10 days. But anything you want to say here on Collins?
No, this is kind of what we expected, was that he was a low-end RB2 based on volume. We didn't expect great things. There was upside just based on the high over-under. That didn't come to fruition. So, I think that if you were in a pinch at the running back position and you needed to play Collins, you're not excited about what he did, but you're also not crushed.
Correct. Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's a tough matchup, and he looked okay. He was dancing a lot, but obviously they had trouble getting things going. So I agree. All right, we're going to get into all the games for this weekend. But before we do, let's talk about Bachan's barbecue sauce. So when we get a sponsor, here's the deal. We all do, but I definitely like to try the products because if you want to endorse something, you want to make sure that you know what it is and you like it and you want to be endorsing it. And my kids love this part of my job. Like, this is their favorite part of my job. None so more so than Will, my son, who I talk about a lot. So my wife went away a few weeks ago and I, as a dutiful son-in-law, went and took my kids to her parents' house for dinner. And I brought Bachan's because we had some, partly because they have a gluten-free version and my wife's mother has celiac, but also we were grilling. So it was a good time. And Will was desperate to try it because he wants to be part of ad reads. He listened to these podcasts. He knows I mention him every once in a while. He wanted to be a part of it. So he tried it. He did. And he loved it. And admittedly, he was dipping potato chips in the barbecue sauce. So you're probably going to love that no matter what. But I mean, the kid ate barbecue sauce. This is an actual miracle. And the reason is because it's awesome. It is a multi-generational family recipe. The name of the company is after the founder, Justin Gill's granny. Bachan is a Japanese term of endearment, which means granny. And it's fantastic. Some American-based barbecue sauces, they're, you know, a little thicker, a little vicious, everything like that. Not Bachan's. It caramelizes when you cook, and it's in a squeeze bottle, so you can drizzle it on any dish. You can use it on anything, barbecue, noodles, dipping fries, or potato chips, as I mentioned. My wife is a health nut, all right? Totally healthy, nonstop. You guys know I mentioned she runs a lot. She is constantly making dishes with quinoa and stuff like that, which is fine. I like it, but sometimes it's a little bland, so I asked if she'd mind me using some Bachan's on it, and she looked over the ingredients. She was like, oh, non-GMO soy sauce, organic ginger, organic rice vinegar, organic garlic, organic toasted sesame oil, and she was hooked. So now quinoa, like, every night, totally cool with it. And as I mentioned, they have a gluten-free variety, also a hot and spicy variety, also an original variety, which is personally my favorite. It's still grilling season, guys. Go to bachans.com, bachans.com/fantasypros. Use Fantasy Pros at checkouts for 20% off. Again, go to bachans.com/fantasypros. Use Fantasy Pros at checkout for 20% off. All right, Yates, let's start with the London game. Jets against the Falcons. We know already Calvin Ridley is out here. We know that Russell Gage is out. So, I mean, I guess, what does this do to your ranking of the two guys that fantasy managers want to start? I use quotes with Kyle Pitts, but Kyle Pitts and Cordarrelle Patterson.
This is, if Kyle Pitts does not come through in this game, we have to be extremely concerned. Up against the New York Jets, this is a matchup that you target for tight ends, for receivers, for every position group. And Kyle Pitts currently is at tight end 4 in my rankings this week, just because of the insane target share that he is walking into. You have the wide receivers here. None of them should be considered. You got like Christian Blake, Olamide Zaccheaus. Like, none of these guys should be considered, and they're not going to soak up targets. So the targets are going to go to three places. They're going to go to Kyle Pitts, they're going to go to Cordarrelle Patterson, and they're going to go to Mike Davis. And Kyle Pitts stands to be the biggest beneficiary. I have talked about how all the other supporting statistics, I talked about this on the rest of season show on Tuesday, talking about Kyle Pitts, like, he is a guy where you can look at the supporting statistics and you can say, the touchdowns are coming. Like, he is in line for a massive increase in production just based on air yards and everything like that. So I say Kyle Pitts this week has to be in your starting lineups. And if he doesn't come through here, we have to be extremely, extremely concerned.
Yeah, I agree. Cordarrelle Patterson Yates, when I checked last night, he was at 19th at running back. I have him 13th. I don't know about you.
I have him currently, it's loading, but and it's taking a while.
Okay,
I'm
that's
at
fine.
15 last time I checked. Okay. So I'm right Very in good. That range.
How about Mike Davis, though? I don't know how much this helps Mike Davis. Maybe it does. I didn't move him that much in my rankings, right?
Right. And so when I mentioned Mike Davis, it's like he's going to see some more targets, but I'm talking like maybe 2 or 3.
Right.
And he's not going to be efficient on the ground. So he's still, I've got Mike Davis at RB 37 on the week.
Oh, okay. So you're lower than I do. I'm at 28. Again, because you're in that range for me. Now I have a little more confidence that the volume is going to be there. They are going to need points. I really do think the Jets are going to put up points in this matchup here. So I think they will need points. That doesn't lend itself necessarily to the running game. But again, they've got nowhere else to go. I agree with you, though. We saw it with Tennessee where people are like, oh, great. Which one of these wide receivers that I have never heard of or thought of starting before, right, do I get to start now? The answer is none of them. Like, you start Kyle Pitts and you start Cordarrelle Patterson, and you start, for me, Mike Davis as a flex, but other than that, you move on. For the Jets, I feel like kind of excited again to start Corey Davis.
Yeah, in this matchup, I mean, and Corey Davis like came through for fantasy managers last week, and we're starting to see we're starting to see Zach Wilson get a little bit more comfortable, you know, and I think that he's starting to extend the plays. We're starting to see what came through in his BYU tape where he was constantly getting outside the pocket and creating. I think that that's starting to translate, and it's working for Corey Davis. Now, it was a plus matchup last week, but this is also a plus matchup. I think that you start Corey Davis.
Yeah, I'm at 23rd. This is like a guy who is locked into my lineups. And again, I do think that this is a difference of not he faced a couple of three pretty tough defenses here to start the season. You saw what happens when he faces Tennessee, and you saw now you're going to see what happens when he faces Atlanta. How about anybody else? It's Jameson Crowder that also, by the way, I think helped Corey Davis because I think it had another thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I haven't seen if Elijah Moore is officially. I know he's out of the concussion protocol. I assume he's going to play here. But anybody else you want to start here on the Jets?
I currently have Jameson Crowder at 47, so he is a sit based on our criteria, but you can look his way if you need a flex. He gets a bump up in full PPR formats, but Corey Davis I have at 21, Jameson Crowder at 47, and that's pretty much it. I'm not looking at Elijah Moore in any way. And Cordarrelle Patterson coming back, it did load. I've got him at 17 on the week.
Oh, nice. Okay, so you were ballparking 15. You're not starting Michael Carter, are you?
No, he is just outside of the top 30 for me. I'm encouraged by the workload. I'm encouraged by the usage. I think that this is a decent matchup, so we could see him pay off. But just based on the state of the New York Jets offense, we can't trust him as a top 30 option. So he's in that range, but not yet.
Patriots at the Texans. I just kind of feel like Damian Harris is going to have a giant
day. Oh, my word. Yep.
Okay. Where do you have him ranked out of curiosity? Does 14. It load for you?
14.
Ooh, God, I love it. Always the 100th percentile of projections. Okay. How about Jacoby Myers? Is he a guy who's locked in your lineup at this point?
Myers is outside my top 40, just based on, I think that, you know, he's going to be fine from a target perspective, but what's the upside? You know, 112 receptions now for Jacoby Myers in his NFL career, and he has not scored a touchdown. And there is the possibility that Mac Jones doesn't throw any touchdowns in this game. It all goes to the running backs because, you know, if we do see that the ball is turned over, Davis Mills is going to throw interceptions this week, then they're just going to lean on their run game. And I think that if that's the case, then big game incoming for Damian Harris could mean that Jacoby Myers goes another game yet again without a touchdown. So yeah, I'm concerned.
And if Mac Jones does throw a touchdown, might go to one of the tight ends because Houston is very exploitable. So talk to me about the tight ends here, Yates. And first of all, are you starting a Patriot tight end? And if so, which one are you starting?
I'm going with Hunter Henry over Jonnu Smith just based on the snap share. I think that I feel a little bit more comfortable with Hunter Henry based on how much he is on the field versus Jonnu Smith. So I still think that you can look Jonnu Smith's way. He falls outside the top 15 for me, but I've got Hunter Henry at 13 on the week. So I think that there is a very good chance that he sees, you know, his 4 to 5 targets, probably reels in all of them, but then also has the possibility to find the end zone. So I've got him at 13 and then Jonnu Smith at 17.
Totally agree with you there. How about for the Texans? I mean, there's one guy. It's Brandon Cooks. Are you still starting him?
Yes, because even in a terrible, terrible, terrible game script and a tough matchup last week, Brandon Cooks didn't crush your fantasy football lineup.
Right.
So I still think that you can absolutely look Brandon Cooks away. I have him at 27 on the week.
Yeah, I'm 26. Don't feel great about it, but I agree. And start nobody else on the Texans, right?
Oh, correct. Yeah, no.
Lions at Vikings. Is it the usual deal here? Injuries aside, I know, you know, TJ Hockenson is battling through something, but both running backs and TJ Hockenson, are you starting?
For Detroit? Yes. DeAndre Swift.
No, for Minnesota. Sorry.
Go ahead. DeAndre Swift is at 12 for me, and then Jamal Williams is at 30. So I think that there's still a big difference here. I do think that DeAndre Swift is going to be the main guy, specifically with his receiving workload. And this game could turn easily into a blowout for Minnesota. I think that they're going to be able to run the ball, and put up points. So if that's the case, then DeAndre Swift has that garbage time production as a receiver. So I like Swift inside my top 12 this week.
Kyle Pitts or TJ Hockenson this week?
It depends, obviously, on the health status, but I will still play TJ Hockenson.
I'm starting Pitts, man. I'm a little worried here about Hockenson. I do think that he's going to play, but I think the health is holding him back a little bit enough for me to be. I want Kyle Pitts in this matchup. Yeah, it's like if I roster Kyle Pitts, if I somehow rostered both of them, you don't. But if you did, this is the matchup where I want Kyle Pitts. I feel comfortable that it's going to happen. And like you said, if it doesn't, we got to move on. Nobody else in the Lions, right?
Correct.
Okay, for the Vikings, we've obviously got Dalvin Cook here in the health situation. We don't know the practice reports for Friday. If he plays, of course, you start him. If he doesn't, you start Alexander Mattison without question. You start Justin Jefferson. You start Adam Thielen, of course. Yep. Do you start Kirk Cousins in this matchup?
He is in the streaming conversation. We saw him come back down to earth last week. And it's kind of the same thing as Mac Jones, where it's like, okay, he could throw for zero touchdowns this week, right, because all of them go to the running game. But I still think that the upside is there. I think that Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, they're going to have just monstrous performances in this one. So I've got Kirk Cousins currently at 15 on the week.
I'm probably crazy, Yates. So you're going to yell at me. I have Kirk Cousins right now at 8. Ooh. 8. On the, ooh, yeah, I think this is going to be a monstrous game. They're favored by 9.5. I think they cover. I think they're going to put up a ton of points. And again, because of the fact that Dalvin Cook is a little banged up,
you could have
Madison obviously come in like towards the goal line if Cook has anything, because Madison's perfectly capable. But man, I love every part of the passing offense. Any interest in Tyler Conklin or KJ Osborne?
Not KJ Osborne, as anything more than a flex option in deeper formats. Tyler Conklin is currently at 18, so he's going to show up as a sit on our graphics here on the YouTube channel, but he is in that range where you can look his way. You know, like I'm at Robert Tonyan or Tyler Conklin or Dallas Goedert, like they're all kind of sandwiched together. So I would be fine if you are desperate and you need an option. Tyler Conklin, you can plug him in.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've met 16 all in that same range, basically. So you can get away with it, is the Yates saying. And I think that's it. There are guys, though, obviously, who I would prefer to start this week. Before we move on to our next game, you remember when I mentioned that my kids love to be part of the ad reads? You know when they really love it? When they get to eat cookies and cream or maple waffle cereal because they love the taste. Health Nut Mom is all about it. So Magic Spoon is right up their alley. Let's start with how it tastes, because honestly, if you or your kids are going to eat anything, it kind of has to taste good. That's the bottom line. Cookies and cream and maple waffle, you know those are good, but you can also go with the original, which are all fantastic. Cocoa, fruity, frosted, blueberry, peanut butter, it is all good. It is all delicious. But then what? It's healthy too? Keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, soy free, low carb. And I'm not kidding. I eat cereal every single day during the football season, every day, because at like 11 a.m., I get back from walking the dog and I'm feeling a little dizzy from the lack of sustenance, but I want to get back to work. So I want something quick, and nothing is quicker or easier or more awesome for me than cereal. And that starts with Magic Spoon. Just go to magicspoon.com/fantasypros. Use our code fantasypros at checkout to get $5 off your order. It's backed by a happiness guarantee, by the way. So if you don't like it for any reason, they are going to refund your money. Just go to magicspoon.com/fantasypros. Use our code FANTASYPROS at checkout and get $5 off your order. All right, Yates, let's get to the Eagles at the Panthers. Again, things are trending up with McCaffrey. I'm still personally not expecting him to play, but if he plays, you're obviously starting him. If he does not, are you starting Chuba Hubbard?
As a low-end RB2, he'd probably fall right behind where I have Alex Collins ranked on the week. So I think that's kind of where we can expect that that production.
It's very funny you said it. I was like, it's like how we feel about Alex Collins, because I also have him one spot behind Alex Collins. So that's right. Obviously, DJ Moore is a must-start option, of course.
Yeah.
You said Sam Darnold at 12, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I like Sam Darnold this week.
Would you start Sam Darnold or Justin Herbert?
I have Justin Herbert at 11. So tougher matchup for Herbert, but I still think that, you know, based on everything we've seen from him, he can still come through. So I have a little bit more confidence in Justin Herbert, but not by much.
Who comes at 13, Yates, out of curiosity?
Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow. Okay. Jalen Hurts. Sorry, I got to go through this. Jalen Hurts or Sam Darnold?
Jalen Hurts is up at 8, Sam Darnold at 12.
Oh, it's Kirk Cousins. That's the difference for me. I got it. Right. Okay. No problem. I was like, wait, how is he 12 at 13? It's Kirk Cousins. That's the difference. That's fine. Yeah, I mean, we're in agreement, basically. We have him right around the same spot. Again, he technically falls right outside of the starting range for me at 13, but that's fine. Robbie Anderson, Yates, talk to me. What are you doing?
Encouraged by the target share last week, still did not turn into anything. Especially if Christian McCaffrey comes back this week, then no, absolutely not. You cannot look Robbie Anderson's way. He is now, it's crazy to say this, but he is now just kind of in that same territory as like a KJ Osborne, where it's like flex option in deeper formats. And that's pretty much how I feel about Robbie Anderson. So I'm sitting him if I can.
Jamison Crowder or Robbie Anderson?
Oof. I will probably play Jamison Crowder.
Yeah, I have Crowder one spot ahead. That's where we are. For the Eagles, you're starting Jalen Hurts, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just like to hear you say that. what are you doing with Miles Sanders, Yates? I mean, how low do you have him?
Oh, man, 15 touches over the past 2 weeks for Miles Sanders. I have Sanders currently at 28 on the week.
Yeah, I'm at 32nd. I'm just not starting him if I can avoid it. You just can't. And I'm hopeful that things change, because there's no reason that they wouldn't. Like, this is not working. Get him more involved. See what you can do. But for right now, I'm staying away. How about Devontae Smith? I mean, big game last. We thought it was coming. last week. Are you starting Devontae Smith here?
Yeah, I talked about it in the over-under challenge, saying that like with tougher matchups, we're seeing Jalen Hurts struggle a little bit as a passer. That's directly correlating to Devontae Smith's production. So in those smash matchups, right, Atlanta, Kansas City, we saw Devontae Smith have big performances here. With Carolina, I don't think that that's going to be the case. But with that being said, you still start Devontae Smith. I've got him at 30 on the week.
Yates, I heard you talking on the Start Sit show about the Eagles tight end. So are you starting either one of them? And if so, which one?
I think that you can start both of them, but you got to adjust your expectations. Dallas Goedert cannot be viewed as a low-end tight end one anymore because Zach Ertz is actually like outproducing him. And if Jalen Hurts had been able to connect with Zach Ertz on that touchdown early on in the game last week, then we would have a completely different conversation about Zach Ertz being potentially a top 12 fantasy option again. So I have Zach Ertz at 14 on the week. I have Dallas Goedert at 15.
Okay. So you can get away with starting either one, but you're not absolutely starting them in a single
correct. Week. Correct.
Right. Okay. And anybody else on the Eagles you want to start? I assume no Jalen Reagor or Kenneth Gainwell or anything?
Nope.
Okay. Very good. Saints visiting the Washington football team. Where do you have Antonio Gibson ranked, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, I have Antonio Gibson currently at 15 on the week. So a little bit concerned here with the injury status. I don't know what fully to expect from him. So, and it's a tougher matchup on the ground with the New Orleans Saints. So I have Gibson currently at 15.
Yeah, I'm at 19, and I realize it's fading him pretty hard. Again, we do have the injury, but also, you know, Yates, the Saints are tough. They've given up the ninth fewest fantasy points to running backs, and they have faced a really, really tough schedule of running backs, right? Mm-hmm. They've faced, Christian McCaffrey. They faced Saquon. They faced Aaron Jones. They have a legit run defense. And if Antonio Gibson's not going to get the targets, 15 carries against a team like that. He should get the targets. It frustrates me that he's not. But again, still a starter for me, but a guy I'm fading a little bit comparatively. Terry McLaurin is an obvious start. Curtis Samuel hasn't practiced. Hopefully they're just sort of being careful with him. If he plays, are you starting Samuel?
No, not yet.
Yeah, I have big hope for Samuel, but this week I'm not going after him either. Anybody else on the Saints you want to start?
No, on Washington. Not with Logan Thomas being injured and out on IR. I don't think that there's anyone at the tight end position that you can look at. So, no, just move on.
And for the Saints, is it the same as usual? It's basically start Alvin Kamara, bench everybody else?
That is correct. They had 10 different receivers last week finish with, I think, one or more target. The ball is just being spread around so much here in this offense where we can't rely on any of these options. So yeah, it's Alvin Kamara and run away.
All right. The Titans visiting the Jaguars. You might know this by the time you listen to this podcast, but things seem to be trending in the right direction for AJ Brown here. Mm-hmm. Not so much for Julio Jones. If Brown plays, obviously just a start in your lineup, no concerns, correct?
100% in this matchup. Yes.
Derrick Henry, your number one running back on the week.
He is indeed.
Okay, are you starting Ryan Tannehill if A.J. Brown does not play? Or are you starting Ryan Tannehill if A.J. Brown does play?
Tannehill would probably fall into the same range as a Joe Burrow, Aaron Rodgers, who I've got a little bit lower this week, Kirk Cousins, in that range where you can start him if you've got him on your roster. I'm probably not going to turn to the waiver wire, but unless someone like Sam Darnold is still out there or Trey Lance, but you can start him if A.J. Brown plays. If Brown doesn't play, then no, you can't look his way.
I agree. I think it's going to affect my ranking for sure of him, but it's probably not going to move him into top 12 territory at this point, which he was kind of locked in when Jones and Brown were there. But I would feel a little more comfortable. And I agree. It's sort of one of these things of I go to the waiver wire for sure to find somebody else. If AJ Brown does not play, if he does play, I'm probably like, all right, I'll just hang with Tannehill. It'll be fine. Unless, again, you're right. Sam Darnold is there. Nobody else on the Titans, correct?
Correct.
All right. For the Jaguars, James Robinson is now a must-start option, I assume, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. James Robinson locked into starting lineups at this point. I currently have him at RB11 on the week.
Yes. I like this very much. I have him at RB11. Very good.
There we go.
For wide receiver. We're in sync every once in a while. For wide receiver Yates, LaVisca Chenault, there's talk about how they want to get him more involved. He obviously comes off the big game without DJ Chark. Both, I guess, wide receivers. How do you feel about him this week?
Of course, yeah. So I think with Marvin Jones, his limited target share last week, I don't think that we're going to see that continue. I think he's going to get back to being the main option. Now, we will see LaVisca Chenault involved more. The targets have to go somewhere. But in this matchup, man, you start both of these guys.
Yep.
The Tennessee Titans cannot stop anyone. So Marvin Jones, I currently have it 32 on the week, LaVisca Chenault at 34. I think that there is the possibility that they rise up even further, though, by the time that we get to Sunday.
Yeah, I'm both higher. And again, I'm probably a little too high on Jones. And to be honest, I've probably been a little too high on Jones every single week, even though he's had a good season for sure. I have him right now at 22. He'll probably be more like 24 when I'm done. And I have Chenault at 29. So I think both guys are going to have big games here against really just an overmatched Tennessee secondary. Dolphins at the Bucs. I can assume even in a good matchup, you wouldn't want to start a Dolphins running back right now, but you certainly don't want to think about it in this matchup, right?
No.
Over under 5 rushing attempts for the Miami running backs as a whole in this game.
I will take the over, but I think it's like if you had set that line at like 7.5, I would probably take the under.
All right. For the pass catching options, we already said we are both starting Mike Gesicki in this game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. I got him as a top 10 option.
Yeah, as do I. How about Jalen Waddle and Devontae Parker?
I think that you can still look Waddle's way. It was interesting last week, you know, in week 3, he had, 13 targets, 12 targets or whatever, and didn't do a ton with it. But in full PPR formats, you were extremely happy with that. And I thought that that was going to be the case moving forward. And then last week, he finishes with 3 receptions. So I think in this matchup, again, you talk about you're not going to run the ball, and you can pass on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So Jalen Waddle, I think you have to downgrade him just based on the, like, level of confidence and what we have seen. But I've still got him at, I've still got Jalen Waddle at 35, and then Devontae Parker is at 40. So I think that you can start both of these guys.
I agree. Both these guys are starts this week. And again, Parker has been getting very consistent targets, and without Will Fuller, again, ball's got to go somewhere. So it's going to be Waddle. It's going to be Parker. It's going to be Mike Gesicki for the Bucs. I mean, I don't know what there is to really say about him. I'm assuming that Rob Gronkowski is not going to play. If he plays, of course, you start him as a starting tight end, right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. And are you starting all 3 of the receivers here, Antonio Brown included?
Yeah, I think that all 3 of these guys, even though it's a tougher matchup, I do expect them to be fine. So I don't feel confident in where I've got these guys ranked. I feel like they're extremely high, but I've got Chris Godwin at 11, Mike Evans at 18, and Antonio Brown at 23.
Yeah, this is very funny that you said that, Yates, because I mentioned it on yesterday's or on today's kickoff, I guess, that I was just fading all of them, you know, because I really, number one, I don't feel confident as to where the ball is going to go. Number 2, the secondary is tough. Like, it really is. And right. So I don't know who's going to draw who. So I have Godwin right now at 16. I have Mike Evans at 21. And I have Antonio Brown at 27. So basically, take your rankings, drop everyone like 4 spots.
That's what I want to do.
Right. All right.
I don't know what your process is, but like for projections, I use Vegas implied point totals and kind of zero it out. So when you do that, every single week, Tampa Bay is projected with like 28 plus points. So when you try to, you know, you're not going to give those touchdowns to the running backs, at least we haven't historically. So then they've got to go to the wide receivers, especially if Gronk isn't going to play. So then that's what brings them up the rankings. So I don't feel confident where I've got them. I would love to slide them down around the same range that you've got them. But just based on my process, they've got to be a little bit higher.
I love it. Hold firm. You're starting Tom Brady, obviously, of course, right? I'm at QB6.
I am starting Tom Brady. I talked about him as a guy that I have concerns about, though, in this matchup. But we won passing touchdown over the past 2 games combined for Brady. Yep. So tougher matchup against the secondary. He doesn't bring a high floor with, you know, no mobility. So we've got Brady at 9. You know, it's coming with a qualification here. Like, you still start Tom Brady, but I'm just adjusting expectations.
This is also where I like to talk about the Thursday rankings, because the way our rankings process works is players in Thursday games get locked in, of course, to wherever you had them ranked on Thursday, because you don't want to be able to move them around afterwards. So I had Matthew Stafford at 7 and I had Russell Wilson at 9. So like, I'm kind of caught in between, like, as to where guys move. You move guys down a spot, they might go down, you know, 4 spots or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's there. Yeah, for me. And it's funny that I'm higher on Brady technically, but lower on the wide receivers. I think all 3 of the wide receivers can do fine with where they are. I mean, I have them all ranked basically as starting options, and still Brady finished at 6. But look, we talked about the running game. Leonard Fournette looks great. Are you starting Leonard Fournette here?
Yes. He has now moved into the territory where I think that we can start him. I am not ranking him as a top 15 option, though. I've got him at 21 on the week, so I'm still baking into a little bit of risk here, a little bit of caution, saying there is still the possibility that he comes out and just gets, you know, what, 7 carries, and he gets the targets with Giovanni Bernard out, most likely out. I still think that, you know, we still need to exercise caution with Leonard
Fournette. I am ranking him as a top 15 option, and it feels disgusting. But again, I'm thinking about the guys who I have after him. Again, I told you why I don't feel great about Antonio Gibson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and kind of a tough matchup that I expect to be more of a shootout. Chase Edmonds, you know, Damian Williams maybe, but again, it's Damian Williams. Like, I haven't seen him. So for me, I don't know, man. I kind of trust him, and it feels disgusting. Are you starting, assuming that Gronk is out, by the way, you're not starting Cameron Brate?
No. Nope.
Okay, very good. I get a lot of questions about Cameron Brate. Fantasy managers just really want to start somebody on the Bucks, but I agree. I have him at 19 this week.
That's exactly where I have him.
Of course you do, Yates. We're right there. Prize picks. Fantasy is fun. Fantasy props are even better. Again, we just did it with the over-under challenge. It's just fun. And if you play fantasy, you have a good sense of where you want to rank guys and what you think about their fantasy point projection. You can do that all at Prize Picks. Just turn your fantasy knowledge into some cash. You pick 2 to 5 players, guys. You decide if they're going to go over or under their stat projections. And there are stats to choose from. Again, you can choose fantasy points, but you can choose real stats if you want yards, receptions, touchdowns, whatever you want. The more players you pick, the more money you can win, up to 10 times your amount. You can also do multi-sport entries. You can do basketball, you can do soccer, or MMA, anything you want, really. And you can make your entries in less than a minute. It's got a 4.8 rating in the App Store. Take your game to a new level with Prize Picks daily. Fantasy simplified. Use our promo code GRIDIRON to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Again, that's promo code GRIDIRON to receive a 100% deposit match for up to $100. Packers visiting the Bengals. Yates, you mentioned you're fading Rodgers a little bit in this matchup.
A little bit, yeah. And it's based on the projections, where I was actually surprised where Rodgers came out. But I still think, obviously, that like it's Aaron Rodgers. You can start him. But I think some of these other guys have a little bit more upside in this matchup. In their
matches. So what's the actual number here where you have
Rodgers? I have Rodgers currently at 14 on the week.
Wow, that's a fade, Yates. So you're in a single quarterback league. You are starting Sam Darnold over Aaron Rodgers.
As of right now, yes.
Okay, all right. I mean, look, that's not crazy to me. I mean, I have Rodgers at 10th. But again, I know people probably get annoyed at this, but like we talk about it, like the difference when you're a couple, you know, a few spots difference in that is not huge. I mean, I have Rodgers at 10. I have Darnold at 13. I think the fantasy point projection is like 2.2 fantasy points or something different. So totally fine with it. But I mean, I understand. And Cincinnati's defense has played better than expected for sure. So this is going to be an interesting one. You are starting Aaron Jones. You're starting Devonta Adams, of course. Are you starting Robert Tonyan?
Not if I can help it. If I can turn to another option, if I can pick up Zach Ertz, then I will do that. I've got Robert Tonyan at 16. He is a complete touchdown or bust option.
And this is what we talked about, man. Coming into the year, this was my concern that it could turn out this way with Tonyan. And again, it's not like he's crazy targeted in the red zone or anything. So this is disappointing. I agree with you. I have him at 15. And, you know, despite his, you know, heavy involvement last week, I assume you're not starting AJ Dillon or anything like that.
No.
No, very good. For the Bengals, I think we're assuming that Joe Mixon is going to miss this game, but now the offensive coordinator is talking about a running back by committee approach, I assume, with Samaje Perine and Chris Evans. So let's say you're the manager who had Joe Mixon, you picked up Samaje Perine. Are you starting him this week?
Yes. Yeah, you can still start Samaje Perine, but this is kind of where I expected him always to be. I wasn't expecting him to be a top 15 option with Joe Mixon out of the lineup. I expected Chris Evans to operate as the pass catching complement. So I have Samaje Perine at 26. This is just, he's going to get volume. He's going to get 12 to 15 touches, most likely in that range. And if that's the case, then he's got to be in the high end RB3 conversation just based on the other options available.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I'm ranking Joe Mixon as of right now. In a few hours, once I hear that he's officially out, I'm sure I will take him out, in which case I will move Perine exactly where you have him, basically. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. He is a guy, and I roster Joe Mixon a couple of spots. I picked up Perine. I will be starting him this week. But like you said, it's sort of something where isn't a replacement for Joe Mixon.
Welcome to week 5 of the 2021 NFL season, where we're starting Samaje Perine over Miles Sanders comfortably.
That's actually a great point. Well done. The universe is crazy. I expect T. Higgins to return here in this game. Are you starting all three Bengals wide receivers?
I am starting Ja'Marr Chase. I'm starting T. Higgins with full confidence. However, then Tyler Boyd does take a little bit of a bump down. He's still inside my top 40. I have him at 38 on the week.
Yeah, I'm at 36. Still a guy you can start, but he was certainly a sell-high candidate because I think what you saw last time has CJ Uzama with his big game.
Nope.
No. Okay, no. Very good. I just wanted to check. Broncos visiting the Steelers. Are you starting both or either running back for the Broncos?
I would prefer not to. This is a tougher matchup on the ground for opposing running backs. I don't know. Is Teddy Bridgewater playing?
So we don't know. I was going to get there. I probably should have led there, even though we start with the running backs. Right. He is progressing out of the concussion protocol. But as of we record this again, Friday early morning, he hasn't cleared the protocol yet. So we don't know if he's starting. Does it matter to you for the running backs if he is or isn't?
It does, because I think that Teddy Bridgewater can keep the offense on pace. I don't know if Drew Lock is going to be able to do that. So Melvin Gordon is the guy that I would look at, but I've got him at 27 and I've got Javonte Williams at 31. So like these guys are essentially a near even split in projections. I literally this upcoming week, I just changed in my projection template. I just changed the overall rush attempts and pass attempts and did not change their like carry share, target share, anything like that. Cause it's essentially just a 50-50 split every single week. So yeah, I would prefer to play Melvin Gordon over Javonte Williams, but that is not saying a lot.
Yeah, I'm two spots down from where you are on both guys, actually. I have Melvin Gordon at 29, Javonte Williams at 33. I mean, the thing about Pittsburgh is they are good against the run. They're seventh in defensive DVOA against the run. And again, if it's Drew Lock, it's just going to be terrible right now in this. But let's assume right now, okay, if Teddy Bridgewater plays, are you starting Courtland Sutton or Tim Patrick?
I think that I have a little bit more confidence in Courtland Sutton if Teddy Bridgewater does play. Now that comes with the qualification that I talked about this on the Wednesday show that like in the outside of the 159 yard performance that Courtland Sutton had against Jacksonville, that he is averaging 3 receptions for 33 yards, I think something like that. Yep. So in the other 3 games this season. So I don't think there's much upside to him here. Now it is a plus matchup. So I think that he does belong in starting lineups just based on the upside, but there's a low floor here. So I have Courtland Sutton at currently at 29 on the week. And then Tim Patrick falls just outside my top 40. I've got him at 45.
Yeah, I hate to do it with Tim Patrick because you know I always want to start him. But I agree. I'm fading him a little bit this week, even with Teddy Bridgewater. If Drew Lock plays, are you starting Courtland Sutton?
I might. I'm still starting him, but I might move him down even a couple of further spots. You know, like I'll start Marvin Jones over Courtland Sutton at that point. Laviska Shenault, I probably will start as well. Emmanuel Sanders, Devontae Smith. So he'd probably move down to like wide receiver 34.
Yeah, Locke's going to take a shot at the very least. So, you know, there's always the potential for it, but I agree. I still starting Sutton. I agree. Right now, I'm starting Sutton for sure. You can exploit the Steelers through the air, actually. So I would start him with Teddy Bridgewater in my mid-20s, I believe I have him. But he would drop from there, but probably still a starter. And how about Noah Fant? Are you just starting him?
Yes, he's constantly just in the low-end tight end one conversation. I talked about Noah Fant as someone that I was scared to spend up on in draft season. But that was with Jerry Jeudy in the lineup. That was with KJ Hamler also taking away targets. Absolutely. Now that's cleared up a little bit, and Noah Fant is benefiting from it. So I've got him at 12 on the week currently.
Great point with all that. How about for the Steelers? You know, you're starting Najee Harris every single week, despite the horrific offensive line. You are starting Deontay Johnson. We don't know about Chase Claypool yet, but let's assume that all the receivers are healthy. Who are you starting other than Najee Harris and Deontay Johnson?
It's Deontay Johnson, and then I am running away. Chase Claypool, in his first game back from injury, I can't do it. And Juju Smith-Schuster, he is another bad game away from me from just straight up dropping. Like, I'm so close to dropping Juju Smith-Schuster if I do roster him. Najee Harris, I want to double back, though, because I actually have... Where do you have Najee on the week?
I have him high, Yates, and it's funny because when I did my projections, I was like, this feels highly uncomfortable right now to have Najee Harris that high, but I have him at 8.
I have him at 16.
Wow, okay. See, that's where I want to have him, Yates, and this is so funny. We talk about this, and I like our processes because I like when we... Or processes, when we talk about it, because there are times where... I talked about it last week with Allen Robinson and Robbie Anderson, where it just felt like this is something where I feel like this is going to be the game where they're going to go off and this makes more sense to have him, but I can't justify it. With Najee Harris, man, as bad as it is, Ben cannot push that ball downfield. So what is the minimum amount of targets he's going to see in what is going to be a defensive ball control type of game? Like, he's probably going to be at 23 touches in this game or something like that. And for me, that's just really hard to drop him too far, you know?
Yeah, my whole point with Najee Harris and ranking him that low is, like, when you look at Denver, they're allowing just 15.5 rush attempts, 50.5 rushing yards, and 0.2 touchdowns per game on average to the running back position on the ground. And then they're also just allowing 2.5 receptions, 11.2 receiving yards, and 0 touchdowns per game on average. They're only allowing 5.5 fantasy points per game. So the question really comes down, what gives? Is it going to be the Denver Broncos defense that cracks here and that we're going to see Najee Harris, you know, outproduce those numbers? Now, I think he'll finish with more than 11.2 receiving yards, but... Like, or is it going to be the Steelers offense that crumbles? And right now I have more faith in the Denver Broncos defense than I do the terrible Pittsburgh Steelers offense. So yeah, the volume will be there, but I just don't see the upside here.
So all of that is true. And again, we'll move on in a second. I don't think people want to hear us belabor this.
Right.
That is all absolutely true. And the Denver defense is good. And I don't feel comfortable ranking Najee where I was. But I do feel comfortable that he is going to get the volume. And you mentioned those points about Denver's defense, and I'm not taking anything away from Denver's defense. I think it's great. But you look at who they played, Yates.
Sure.
They played the Giants with basically no Saquon Barkley, right?
Sure.
With basically a very limited Saquon Barkley. They played Jacksonville, and fine, James Robinson was starting to get involved there, but they didn't really lean into him that much. They played the Jets, who don't really have a running back, right, at this point. And then they played Baltimore, which is fine. But again, it was Latavius Murray, who doesn't catch the ball whatsoever, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then you had, you know, Devonta Freeman, and you had Le'Veon Bell. It's just not sort of that type of thing where I'm ready to say, like, okay, this is a lockdown unit. At the same time, I greatly respect the Denver defense. I think it is legitimate, but I just think that I think Najee Harris, like, the motto with Najee Harris is volume cures all. And right. I think it cures enough in this matchup. But it's a good point about Najee Harris. 16 is, again, it's a start, though. Like, you're starting Najee Harris,
yeah,
of course. Right. But it is something where I'll have him ranked as an RB1, you'll have him ranked as an RB2, and then we will tease each other on Sunday on Slack, as we always do. For the Bears visiting the Raiders, now Justin Fields has been named the starter going forward, which thankfully is a very good move. You're not starting, though, Justin Fields, right?
No, he is a mid-range to low-end QB2.
And we talked about Damian Williams. I have him ranked at 16th. What about you?
Whoa. I have Damian Williams at 22 currently on the week.
Okay. I think I feel probably a little more comfortable then with what we're going to see from him. But you are the Bears, insider, as I like to refer to you as. So, all right. There you go. What about wide receiver Yates? What are you doing here with both these guys?
Both these guys fall into the start consideration for me, but as low-end wide receiver 3, high-end flex plays. So I have Darnell Mooney at 36 currently on the week, and then Allen Robinson at 39. This is actually a little bit of a tougher matchup for opposing wide receivers, so I don't think that we're going to see the upside there for Mooney and Robinson. I think that we're going to see the pass attempts tick up. Like I mentioned, for Justin Fields, only 37 pass attempts over the past two games combined. So I think we're going to see more, and I think that he'll be fine, but I'm not ranking him anywhere higher than a low-end wide receiver 3.
Yeah, I have Robinson at 37 and Mooney at 40. So we're basically right there together. So are you starting anybody else here on the Bears?
No.
Very good. For the Raiders, you're starting Darren Waller, of course. Talk to me about the wide receivers, Yates. Which of them, or all of them, are you starting?
Henry Ruggs belongs in starting lineups this week. Henry Ruggs, I think, this is a very, very favorable matchup up against the Chicago Bears defense. I think they're allowing the third most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers off the top of my head. And they have allowed some big plays this season, you know, the Cooper Kupp, Van Jefferson in week one, just to name a couple. So
yep.
I think Henry Ruggs is seeing enough involvement in this offense, and he has the big play potential where I want him in my lineup as a low end wide receiver 3. I've got him back to back with Darnell Mooney. And then Hunter Renfrow, a little bit further down, just based on, you know, he's got to find the end zone to finish inside the top 36. So I've got him at 44 on the week, but you definitely can look Hunter Renfrow's way. Bryan Edwards, I have concerns about. He kind of phased out of the offense last week. So I've got him at 57. So I'm not looking his way.
We are very in line on where you have these guys ranked. That's exactly how I have it as well. I think you can get away with both Renfrow, who's been the best part of Renfrow is like, it might not be the big game unless he gets a touchdown, but he's never going to kill you at this point,
exactly.
Right? You know, and it's a good matchup, as you mentioned, against the Bears. So, but that's, for me, Yates, the guy with like the high floor, probably not the huge ceiling. That's exactly where you are. It's like, I'll start you as a flex, but I'm not ready to start you or anything as a wide receiver 3.
The guys that are around him, really quick, the guys that are around him to prove that point, Cole Beasley, Jacoby Myers, like those are the guys that are right, Jamison Crowder, right in that same range as Renfrow, where it's like any of those guys are going to bring an extremely high floor, but I don't see the upside.
I like it. That's basically where I am. For the running backs, Josh Jacobs back, quote unquote, healthy. Are you starting Jacobs in this matchup?
Jacobs has to be in starting lineups just based on the other options available. But I think that we should have some concerns against the Bears run defense. So I've got Jacobs currently as a low end RB2.
Yeah, I'm in 25th. Again, just outside RB2 range, but I do have concerns here. Certainly he's kind of touchdown dependent. But again, if you roster Josh Jacobs, you are probably starting him. Browns visiting the Chargers. You're starting Nick Chubb. By the way, people are freaking out about Nick Chubb, Yates, which I understand.
They're freaking out over 100 rushing yards?
I'm like, which part of it do you not like right now? I mean, it's the fact that Kareem Hunt got the touchdowns, obviously.
Right.
Talk about Kareem Hunt. Again, Kareem Hunt, I've generally been on the wrong side of history with right now with Kareem Hunt because I've been fading him nonstop, right? So this week I have him ranked at 20th. What about you?
I have him at 18.
Yeah. Again, it's a good matchup with the Chargers, and he's involved, and he's getting a touchdown, so that's all you can ask for. Baker Mayfield, as we talked about, it's probably the worst game I'd ever seen him play last week.
It was rough.
But he had, there's a garage door. There we go. Garage door, you know it's not a podcast unless we get the garage door going. Anyway, But, you know, he has the left shoulder injury, maybe with the harness, maybe that affected him. So how about Odell Beckham Jr., who to me, Yates, looks really good, but obviously he needs the production from the quarterback. So where do you have him ranked here in this one?
Yeah, I think that we should still be starting Odell Beckham Jr. Again, I've talked about like the
hold on.
The upside there for OBJ last week was absolutely there. Baker just could not hit him. We could have had a potential three touchdown performance from Odell Beckham Jr. last week. So this is a tougher matchup. I don't have as much confidence in him as I did last week, but yep. I'm at wide receiver 26. I mean, based on the other options, it's like, are you starting Odell Beckham Jr.? Or are you starting Emmanuel Sanders or Marquise Brown? Like at that point, I'll take the upside with OBJ.
Yeah, you've got it. I mean, I am starting Marquise Brown over him, but that's fine. I have been starting Marquise Brown pretty heavily this whole year, but I agree with you. Odell Beckham Jr. for me is a wide receiver 3. You're still starting, and you're right, Yates. There is a parallel universe where Odell Beckham Jr. scored 3 touchdowns last week. Like, that's just what it was, which was really frustrating. Nobody else on the Browns. Is that fair?
That is correct. And just for context, I was thinking, I have Nick Chubb at 7 on the week. So continue to start Nick Chubb.
To be honest, I did not mean to imply anybody was thinking or asking me, should I start Nick Chubb this
week?
No,
I get
long,
it.
Long term though. Yeah. It's like people are saying like, I'm worried about Chubb. Stuff like that. Fantasy managers have very short memories. And it's like, and what's funny is that give me those bad games any day of the week, right? The bad games where you're like, oh, 20 touches, you know, 85 to 100 yards all day long. Anyway, with the Chargers, start everybody pretty much, right? You're starting Justin Herbert, you're starting Austin Eckler, you're starting Keenan Allen, and you're starting Mike Williams despite the down game last week, right?
So frustrating with Mike Williams. The worst. I put out on Twitter that up to this point, I mean, Mike Williams had constantly been in like I'd been moving him up every single game. But then last week I was like, all right, I'm tired of, you know, fading Mike Williams. He's the wide receiver 2 on the season heading into the week. All right, top 10 option for me finally.
Yes.
Where did he finish? Wide receiver 104 on the week. So sorry about that, everyone. Apparently my rankings directly correlate to what Mike Williams does on the field. Gosh. So yeah, I think Mike Williams still a mid-range wide receiver too. You still got to start him due to the upside, but I was not encouraged with what I saw last week.
I'm laughing, Yates, because I was the exact same way. And it's not like I've been fading Mike Williams, but I was totally in on Mike Williams. And again, I don't like to like look at where I am versus consensus until basically the week is over. But you get to the Monday night game and you're like, all right, let's just see where I had people. And I looked and I was like, all right, I'm in on Mike Williams this week compared to consensus. That's cool. I feel good about that. I expect a giant week and then just nothing. But I agree. I have him at wide receiver 19 right now. So certainly somebody you are starting. How about Jared Cook, Yates? I mean, you know, he finds the end zone and he makes it worthwhile, but he's still pretty involved, 9th in tight ends in targets. Are you starting him this week?
Yes, absolutely. And again, we would have a different perception of Jared Cook if that touchdown in week two, had stood. You know, he had that called back due to an illegal shift. So if that touchdown had stood, then we would be talking about Jared Cook as a potential top 12 tight end. And I think that he belongs in that range. I've got him at 11 currently on the week.
Yeah. I've got him at 12 right now, so I'm with you. I'm starting him if I roster him and nobody else in the Chargers, correct?
Correct.
Giants visiting the Cowboys. You mentioned CeeDee Lamb earlier. You know, it's been 2 quote-unquote disappointing games for Lamb, but I have him at 12, Yates. Are you still starting him as a wide receiver 1?
Not as a wide receiver 1. I've got him at 17 currently on the week. So, yeah, you're still starting him. My team last week was just, I had Tyler Lockett last week and CeeDee Lamb as my 2 wide receivers. So my team, I think, barely crossed over 50 points. It was fantastic. It's fine. I think I also had Miles Gaskin starting. It's great. It's fine. So yeah, but CeeDee Lamb, I need a bounce back performance here. But no, he's still going to be fine. He's at wide receiver 17 for me.
Okay. How about Amari Cooper, who is trending up now in health wise?
Yes. Wide receiver 16 on the week.
Very good. Yeah. I both of them very close as well. You are starting Dak. You're starting Zeke. Are you starting Tony Pollard?
Tony Pollard falls into the top 30 just based on volume. Like I feel more confident in Tony Pollard's volume than I do with Miles Sanders. So they're in that same range. Yeah, I think that you can start Tony Pollard, but it's nothing more than a flex play.
How about tight end? Is Dalton Schultz in your circle of trust now?
He is. I wrote up in the game plan this week. I said if we could combine Dalton Schultz and Blake Jarwin into one tight end, they would be utterly unstoppable. But Dalton Schultz has now, I think, ascended, and he is now the safe option here in this offense. We saw Jarwin get the touchdown last week, but Schultz also dominated. So at this point, I feel extremely confident and comfortable with Dalton Schultz. He's at tight end 9 for me on the week.
Okay, I still am at 13. I could see him going maybe to 12, like when all is said and done. Just because, again, you do have Jarwin, you know, in on a bunch of snaps, which sort of caps his upside. But the usage is just brilliant when he is in the game, and obviously he's used in the red zone. So certainly a guy who you can start in single quarter, in single tight end leagues, goodness gracious, in 12 team leagues. I'm fine. Hopefully you're not playing in multiple tight end leagues. For the Giants, we talked about Saquon Barkley being back. I agree with you completely. Saquon Barkley, for me, is ranked sixth on this week. What about you?
I have him at six as well.
I love it. I am not expecting Sterling Shepard or Darius Slayton to suit up here. So are you starting Kenny Golladay?
I am starting Kenny Golladay, but as a wide receiver three. I have him at 33 on the week.
Yep.
Six for 116 last week, which is great, but that was benefited by going into overtime and then zero touchdowns still. He'll get Trayvon Diggs, which Trayvon Diggs hasn't been like a true lockdown, shutdown corner, but he's just forcing a ton of interceptions. So I think Golladay is going to see enough volume to be fine, but I don't see the upside here, especially if he's not finding the end zone.
Assuming that Slayton and Shepard are out, which again, I think is a fair assumption, do you have any interest in starting any other pass catcher for the Giants other than Golladay?
Kadarius Toney is at wide receiver 48 for me on the week. I think that his volume in this offense, and we saw what he can do after the catch. It's so funny watching his run after the catch against the Saints. I forget which play exactly it was, but you watch number 22 for the Saints and he like is just grabbing at air multiple times, like just falling down everywhere, trying to tackle Kadarius Toney. And that's what he was known for coming out of Florida. Yep. So if he gets the volume, then absolutely. In this matchup too, where you've got Trayvon Diggs taking away Kenny Golladay, taking away attention there, and then he's able to operate on like Jordan Lewis out of the slot, then absolutely you start Kadarius Toney as a flex option. He doesn't crack the top 40 for me, but you can look his way if you're in a pinch.
How about the unstoppable force of Daniel Jones?
So I have been kind of burned by Daniel Jones this year where week three against Atlanta, I was like, all right, here we go. Got him as a top 10 option. And then he didn't come through it to the level that he did that I wanted to. But then, you know, last week in a tougher matchup, he comes through. So it's just so confusing. You definitely can look Daniel Jones's way if you need a streaming option. I've got him at 17 currently on the week. Yep.
I'm at 15. So a couple behind some of the other guys that we have talked about already. 49ers at the Cardinals. For the Cardinals, of course, you're starting Kyler Murray. Out of curiosity, Yates, where do you have ranked DeAndre Hopkins here this week?
DeAndre Hopkins, I currently have at 12, I think. Yes, 12.
Okay. So I'm fading him a little bit here. I have him right now at 17. My guess is he's going to move up a couple of spots here when all is said and done. But for me, I don't know, man. Like, I'm getting a little worried right now just in the fact that Murray can do whatever he wants and find any of these other wide receivers anytime he wants and make things happen to the point where I don't know whether or not the volume is going to be there necessarily for Hopkins. Hopkins is incredibly talented. You're starting him. But I do see that I was fading him when I do the kickoff on Friday mornings. I always look for guys who I'm fading or a little high on. And Hopkins was a guy I'm fading, which is, you know, fine. Are you starting any other wide receiver here for the Cardinals?
AJ Green is the guy that I would look at in this offense. I think that Christian Kirk he has the upside in this matchup. San Francisco dealing with a ton of injuries in their secondary. And we know that the Cardinals are going to put up points, but which one do you feel more comfortable with? So AJ Green, still outside my top 40. I've got him at 43 on the week. But he is an incredibly consistent option. And I talked about this with Michael Pittman Jr. I talked about Pittman being tied for the third most inside the 10 targets in the NFL up to this point of the season. He's tied with that with AJ Green. So AJ Green not only has the ability to get those long touchdown receptions like we saw in week four against the Rams, but he's also getting involved in the red zone as well. So I think that there is some upside where we're now starting to move AJ Green up rankings where to begin the year, I wanted nothing to do with him.
Sure. Yeah, I think you can start him as a flex this week for sure. How about the running backs here? Are you starting Chase Edmonds, James Conner, or both?
Yeah, Chase Edmonds belongs in starting lineups. He's bringing an extremely safe floor every single week. He was aided by that long run that he had in week four, which pushed his numbers up. Probably never going to find the end zone, but I think that as a low-end RB2, I've got him at 23 on the week. That's exactly where I feel comfortable with him. James Conner is a game script dependent running back, but he's being used around the goal line. And as you look at the Cardinals schedule and the way that the offense is performing, how many game scripts are they going to be in that they're not going to be up big? So James Conner is a flex option for me. He's at 35 on the week, but I do think that you can look his way because he has an excellent chance of finding the end zone.
I assume you're not starting Max Williams despite the recent production,
No.
Very good. For the 49ers, we don't have an official word yet, but everything suggests that Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to play. Where does Trey Lance rank in your week 5 quarterback rankings?
I've got him at 10 currently on the week. Oh,
man. This is like your Christmas morning, man. I love it. This is exciting. I want to see what he can do. Again,
especially this week with Robert Woods, Daryl Henderson.
It's all your guys. It's all Trey Lance. Wait till Jonnu Smith gets that touchdown, baby. Yep. It's going to be amazing. Okay, so you've obviously got some question marks elsewhere. We don't know whether or not Elijah Mitchell is going to play. Mm-hmm. What are you doing with the running backs if Elijah Mitchell does play, if he does not play?
If Elijah Mitchell does play, then I think that you kind of put these guys back-to-back in rankings as high-end RB3s, just because we don't know what the carry split is going to be unless we get word from Kyle Shanahan. And even if we do get word from Kyle Shanahan, I don't know if I'm going to trust it. So Trey Sermon has been performing well, and I think that he's earned the role here in this offense. Now, we could see Elijah Mitchell come back in and eat into that workload, and they could split it, but there's still going to be value with both of these guys. So that's if Elijah Mitchell does play. If he doesn't play, then Trey Sermon moves up into a low-end RB2 for me, just based on volume.
Yeah, I agree with you. George Kittle obviously has missed practice this week. Yeah. I'm still assuming that he goes. Right now, let's hope for Trey Lance, again, because he played through it last week. So he's as tough as they come. And, I mean, how high is Deebo Samuel now in your rankings, Yates?
Pretty high. Let me see. Deebo Samuel is currently at, wide receiver 8.
Yeah, he's wide receiver 7 for me. And that was just because I foolishly put DK Metcalf at wide receiver 8. that is correct. Yeah, I mean, this is no worries. But you are not starting Brandon Ayuk or anything,
no.
right?
Nope.
Okay. Not very, very good. Let us go to the Bills at the Chiefs, the game we all need right now. For the Bills, of course, you're starting Josh Allen. Of course, you're starting Stephon Diggs. And you mentioned Emmanuel Sanders sort of as the high floor type of guy. Are you starting him, though, in this game?
Where do you have Emmanuel Sanders?
Oh, boy, you're going to be the high guy, I bet. Let me pull him up. Oh, maybe not. 31 for me.
Oh, dang it.
Am I high?
I have him at 31.
Oh, darn. Yeah, I thought it's funny because 31 felt too low for me. Like, because you just feel like the Chiefs defense right now, especially against wide receivers, is just so exploitable. Total in this game is 100 million points. Like, there's just going to be so many points that you know Sanders. Yeah, he's a locked and loaded wide receiver 3 at this point. I think most weeks, really, but certainly in this matchup. How about Dawson Knox, Yates? I mean, a guy who, again, has kind of slowly crept up into tight end 1 territory here. Are you starting him?
I have Dawson Knox at tight end 7 on the week.
All right. I have him at 9, and I was like, oh, Yates is going to yell at me, but in the other way. Okay.
In this matchup, you start the receiving options here, and Dawson Knox has been coming through. Josh Allen is looking his way in the red zone. There's no reason why we shouldn't be starting Dawson Knox this week.
I agree. I picked him up in a league, again, where I drafted Jonnu because I liked him, and I picked him up last week, and Jonnu is now gone, and Dawson Knox is my starting tight end each and every week going forward. How about the running backs here, Yates? We're starting the receiving options. Are we starting the running back options for the Bills?
I'm not. Zach Moss has been the beneficiary of positive game scripts. I don't think that is going to be the case here where they blow out the Kansas City Chiefs. So I've got Zach Moss at 32 on the week. I don't think that you should look his way.
And Singletary lower, obviously, right?
Yeah, I'm not. Never looking at Devin Singletary.
Last guy, I don't think we mentioned Cole Beasley.
Beasley just falls right outside my top 40. I think that, you know, he's disappointed the past couple weeks, but that's, again, been the fact that they won 40-0 and they didn't need Cole Beasley. So in this matchup, I think that they are going to need him a little bit more. Andrew Erickson on the Start Sit podcast talked about Legarius Sneed matching up on Cole Beasley. It is a little bit tougher of a matchup, but again, I think that we're going to need Cole Beasley a little bit more here than we have in previous weeks. He's at 41 currently on the week.
All right, for the Chiefs, again, the usual, you know you're starting Mahomes, you know you're starting Hill, you know you're starting Kelce. Out of curiosity, though, where do you have ranked? I know you're starting him, Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
I have CEH currently at 19 on the week. Tougher matchup here. I don't think that he is going to cross that 100-yard rushing threshold. So, yeah, 19 on the week. I think that, again, he belongs in starting lineups, but I just don't see the upside in this particular matchup.
Anybody else in the Chiefs you want to start?
No, people are going to be talking about Josh Gordon. It's exciting I think we're going to see him on Sunday Night Football. I'm excited to watch, and I'm adding him in deeper formats, but I am not starting him in his first game back.
No way. I'm rooting for him hard, but I certainly would not start him this week. Last game, Colts visiting the Ravens. For the Colts, you are starting Jonathan Taylor, as you do each and every week. Who else are you starting here on the Colts?
Michael Pittman Jr. Pittman Jr. now has 250 receiving yards over the last 3 games. I mentioned earlier, tied for the third most inside the 10 targets in the NFL. The touchdowns are coming. I don't know if they're coming in this particular matchup, but he has been, he's a wide receiver 23 over the last 3 weeks. So you got to get him into your starting lineups this week. He's bringing an incredibly safe floor for, and in some tough matchups, right? Against the Rams, against the Miami Dolphins. So I'm not concerned about Pittman. I've got him at 25 on the week.
Wow. Okay. That's bold. But I will say that Carson Wentz is basically sounds like he is essentially at full health now at this point, which really makes a big difference. Nobody else in the Colts, right?
No.
All right. For the Ravens, I'm honestly debating how high I want to put Lamar Jackson here because I've kind of gone back and forth with him at QB1 or QB2. For now, it's QB2. You said Yates, though. Where did you have Hollywood Brown ranked right now? Because I know you were talking about it, I think, with Odell Beckham Jr.
Yes, so I have Lamar Jackson at 4. I have Marquise Brown at 28 currently. That is projecting that Rashad Bateman is going to play, though. So that's taking away some targets that kind of that bumps Marquise Brown down a little bit. If Bateman doesn't play here, then Marquise Brown probably going to be a top 20. I'll probably put him right at like 22.
Yeah, I'm at 18, and I'm projecting either Bateman to not play, or if he does, you know, I don't expect him to come in and basically be like, hello, I demand a large target share or anything like that.
What, 4 or 5 targets for Bateman? But in this offense, that's a pretty significant target share.
Yeah, no, it's fair. That is fair. But I'm either expecting him not to play, or again, if he does, to play in a limited snap share. So I like Hollywood Brown. I'm at 18. You're starting Mark Andrews, of course. Yates, I mean, what I'm expecting right now, Yates, is for us to hear nothing. And then on Monday, 10 minutes before, you know, the
Tyson Williams out, starting.
Tyson Williams is going to start, and then he's going to rumble for like 20 carries and 8. Anyway, but for right now, I don't have Tyson Williams even ranked because I don't know what to do with it. So assume we know before you have to make the decision on Sunday that Tyson Williams is not going to play. What do you do with Latavius Murray?
I am also not projecting Tyson Williams to play. And with even that in mind, I have Latavius Murray at 33 on the week.
Okay. What if word comes out on Sunday that Tyson Williams is going to play? Are you starting either running back here?
No.
Nope. Very good. You nailed it. Well done. That's exactly how I feel. All right. That's going to do it for today's show. Thank you to Botchans. It is delicious, guys. Trust me. Will loves it. I love it. I put it on quinoa all the time. Go to botchans.com. Again, botchans.com/fantasypros. Use Fantasy Pros at checkout for 20% off. Thanks also to Magic Spoon. They said super delicious and healthy cereal could not be done, but they hadn't met Magic Spoon yet. Just go to magicspoon.com/fantasypros. Use our code Fantasy Pros at checkout to get $5 off your order. Finally, thank you to Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Simplified. Use our promo code GRIDIRON to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Have a great weekend, everybody. I am personally off to New York to visit some family on Sunday, so I will not be doing the Sunday night recap show. Joe will be filling in for me with Pat. Make sure to tune in. In the meantime, have a great weekend of football, everybody, and I will talk to you again next week.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the Dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyers.com today.
Explore a wide selection of luxury spirits, wine, and champagne, at reservebar.com. Elevate your gifting this year with rare and exceptional bourbons, tequilas, scotch, wine, champagne, with personalized engraving, exceptional glassware, and more. From wines to whiskeys, there's a bottle for everyone. For a limited time, save $20 on your order of $150 plus with the code IHEART at reservebar.com.